Welcome to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's podcast for innovative entrepreneurs and executives. And brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants. Here is your host, Robert Gold.
Once again, from high atop the Business Cast Podcast Center in Toronto, live and in the morning, we're way off to the west. I can see Dropmore, Manitoba. I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. And this podcast is produced in partnership with Profit Magazine and ProfitGuide.com. Today, it's going to be fascinating. Nick Carrazza is with us. Nick is the co-founder of Rockstar Real Estate, RockstarBrokerage.com. Nick, welcome to the Profit Business Cast.
Thanks for having me, Robert.
When we first started talking about doing a podcast, doing this particular one, we searched for a topic given your deep interest and what you've done to date. And we came up with, in fact, you came up with the topic, less clients, bigger business, build a thriving business by working with as few people as possible. I want to understand how that's possible, but let's step back a bit. Tell us about yourself and how you came to found Rockstar Real Estate.
Rockstar Real Estate, a real estate brokerage, was built primarily working with real estate investors. So how that came about was I started investing when I was 21 years old, probably too young to know any better. So I went and bought a property and tried to flip it, not knowing what the heck I was doing, and ended up making a few $1,000. Then I went on to get my real estate license because I thought that would be the magic sauce to being able to invest in real estate. So I got my real estate license because I would have this login to the secret system that all the realtors use. My friends thought I was nuts at the time. They said, hey, why are you doing this investing, like just hang out with us, come drink a couple beers and hang out. And it wasn't really my thing. So after I did a few other investment properties, which I realized that the real estate license wasn't much sauce, my friends who thought I was crazy initially started asking me, hey, what are you doing and how are you doing it? And started asking me more and more questions. So then I ended up helping a couple of them, and I expanded a couple of investment properties with my brother. And then we just kind of realized that people needed help and hand holding when they were investing in real estate. And that whole process just kind of grew into this real estate brokerage and the company Rockstar Real Estate. I mean, that's summing up many years in about 35 seconds. So I don't know if that does it justice, but that's how we got to this point.
Well, I would think that building that kind of business, in fact, you don't want to work with fewer people. You would want to work with a lot of people. So what led you to try and build a business that, in fact, leads you to working with few people as possible? And what does that really mean?
In real estate in general, especially in the residential real estate side of things, many realtors will try to be all things to all people. And I knew very early on that that wasn't going to work for me, because if I walked into a home and someone told me, hey, I like the home, but the carpet is the wrong color, or the wall, I don't like the color of the paint, my reaction wouldn't be what a good salesperson would say. My reaction would be like, well, just change it. Like, it's all about the walls and the roof and the location. So we decided to take a very narrow niche, especially when we started, just work with residential real estate investors. And we stuck with that. And we had people in the industry telling us we were crazy and we shouldn't do that. And you need to, common term is you need to list to last. You need to list properties. We can't really build a business. But for us, we were really focused on working with the investors. We were investors at heart. And it worked over time because we stuck to that narrow niche. Our names were built as the specialists in that area. And we were able to build the business from there. So we had people reach out to us for other things. And we really politely declined to work with them because we decided we need to be laser focused on our niche. And I can explain that further. I don't know if you can ask a little bit more detail exactly how few people we narrowed it down to.
Well, I'm really curious. In fact, if we step back from real estate for a minute, it seems as if your unique approach to business is determining a niche as opposed to a real estate niche. And if that's the case, how did you determine what niche best suited your talents and your approach to business?
Part of it was what we were good at. I had already been investing, so it was something I was good at, and it's what we enjoyed. And it really wasn't like a difficult decision because it was a natural extension of what we were doing. So it really started out with, this is what we're doing. People need help in this area. Let's try to help them along in this area. So the gap in the market that we saw was a gap that we went through. We took some real estate training classes that we paid a chunk of money for, and then we tried to take those lessons that we were taught and implement them in the real world, and it was quite difficult to do that. We had to learn a lot of things along the way that we really weren't taught, and when we went through that process, we realized that, hey, there's a pretty big gap in the market here where people need some help. They need someone to help them actually implement some strategy.
So I love the idea of gaps in a market, because every entrepreneur looks for gaps in their market. Can you share some lessons with us about learning about gaps in any market that our listeners across the country could bring to their business?
Totally. I'll share an example in our industry, and then we'll go from there. In the investing industry, the large majority of companies will sell information to investors. Okay, so often it's for like large sums of money. We had that information, we took it and we were implementing it, and it was local and up to date since we were actually doing it. And that's when, for us, we realized that no one is willing to put their butts on the line and actually help people invest on the streets. So that's how we jumped into it, and that's the gap that we saw. And really, personally, I feel there's gaps in every market. So you can look at all the new technology coming out, exposing different ones. The term for it is disrupt industries. What it is just finding those gaps and then acting on it. So for us, we were solving a problem that we had when we started investing. I was looking for on-the-streets help, and it didn't exist. So there was a hole in the market. So what I often will share with other people looking for the same kind of gaps is there like consistent themes, frustration points that you're seeing from people maybe that you're working with or dealing with on a daily basis, and that's going to be an obvious gap. One of the big ones right now is Uber is getting a lot of attention with their business model, but because of where the service industry went or the service levels of the taxi cab industry, they decided to come up with this model. And whether it's right, wrong, and you're a fan or not, I'm not going to get into that point, but there was a gap in the market for a service level that people were wanting and the convenience that people wanted. So I'm always looking at like, hey, what are the frustration points that you can solve for people? So if it's anything in your business, no matter what industry you're in, you may already have a successful business and there's likely frustration points in that business. And a very, very common one that we see is that people generally want results without having to do the work. They're busy with other commitments themselves, and they want these results done for them. So often there's a large gap or whatever services you offer if you actually do more for them or if you implement the things that you're offering to your clients as well.
Well, and that, of course, expands across any industry in the country. Just do more, make it easier for them. But I do love that point about identifying the frustration points, the frustration gaps. Let me ask you this. In your niche, how have you expanded and continued to limit your client base?
The limiting one is what really keeps us focused on a really narrow niche and keeps us working with a small number of clients, but yet have been able to build a business. So early on, we realized that many people would gladly use our time and not be as serious as we would have hoped they would be when using our time. So we implemented a membership program and decided to work only with the people who are members of this investment group. So we essentially layered an investment group on top of the real estate brokerage. And unless they were an active paying member, we weren't going to invest time with them and work with them as clients. That really narrowed down the number of people that we were working with. And some people were really taken aback by that because they would reach out to us to use our services, but we had to quickly weed people out that weren't serious, and this did it. If they weren't willing to sign up as a member, they weren't as serious as we had hoped, and we could focus more time on a smaller number of people. So that allowed us to really decide where to spend the time properly and then to provide those people more services. So we used to help investors in one or two areas, you know, with one or two different investment strategies. But as we had more time and we were able to expand more, we've grown to work with investors in a lot of different areas, not just investment strategies, but areas all around the Golden Horseshoe instead of maybe just outside of Toronto area where we were first based. And now we're helping investors more from a virtual standpoint, but right across the country. So the number across the country is much smaller, but we were able to, it sounds strange, but by focusing on a really small number of people, it allowed us the time and energy to expand services and then start offering those services in other areas as well.
Well, I think the idea of offering membership to limited is quite brilliant, and I hazard to guess that most of our listeners, most of our business owners, would not limit the access to their services or their products by selling a membership to filter and screen. On the other hand, my perspective is if you can get rid of a lot of the chaff, you've really got the wheat to deal with, and I think it's quite brilliant, your approach to limit access to you and your people by a membership, and it works particularly well in your business.
It's worked well in our business, and it's a little bit outside the box. I'm not sure if everyone's a huge fan. I agree with your points there. As a business owner, it's really nice because it allows you to focus on the people that are most going to respect your time. It's always, to me, a respect of time because it's the most limited thing we have. When people respect it, sometimes it'll work out, sometimes it won't, but that goes a long way because you're definitely dealing with the people that want to deal with you and aren't there. You know, don't look at you like you're wasting their time either.
Okay, so Nick, let's get on the soapbox and let's get you to share three lessons that you learned about developing a niche and keeping the customer base small that any of our business owners across the country can in fact implement in their business or consider before they embark on a niche business venture.
First and foremost, the most important thing is to really understand if there's demand for what you have or if the niche that you're going after truly exists. So for us, we ran specific marketing campaigns, really calling out the people, the type of person that we were looking for and the person that we wanted to work with. And once those marketing campaigns began getting response, then we knew there was demand and we were able to grow it from that point. But if we ran some marketing campaigns and there was no response, then maybe it was a sign that there was no demand in the market for what we were offering. So understanding if there's demand there, not necessarily just a good idea, what you think is a good idea, but demand for that idea is pretty important. Maybe on the other side of things, I think it's important for you to be true to who you are. So no one can be all things to all people and perform at their best. So it's important for us. We were lucky enough to realize that you only need a small segment of any particular market to have a really successful business. And as long as you commit to that segment of the market and serve it as best as possible, that's going to allow you to have everything you need as a business owner. Sometimes I think as business owners, especially early on, we try to grasp at everything and be all things to all people. And I think often that can work in reverse. I guess to that point, the first time I read Kevin Kelly's article about 1,000 true fans, so I think it was written a couple years ago now, it really hit home because that's the road that I felt we had stumbled upon. It was working excellently for us almost by accident.
I have another question for you, and it is, what did you learn when you established this philosophy that you hadn't expected to learn?
The biggest thing that I learned was before we started this business, I used to read a lot of business books, and there was a lot of things about like creating win-win scenarios. And I kind of thought that was a little airy-fairy type stuff. Like, it can always be win-win. Can you really do that? So there's that. And then Zig Ziglar's quote about trying to help as many people as possible and you'll get whatever you want. I learned that those things are actually true. It was a little bit of a surprise to me. And I've really realized that if you are truly out to serve people and try to help them achieve whatever it is they're trying to achieve, that is going to benefit you more than anything else. Whereas a lot of people, what they'll start with, if they're looking to make an income, is they start with, well, how do I make this money? So if they're looking to make $100,000 a year, they'll try to figure out how to make $100,000 a year, where what I've learned is if you can figure out how to help the number of people that will allow you to make the $100,000, that's going to get you further, faster, and focusing on the money first. So it almost sounds backwards, but that's the way that we approach things now, and it's something I wouldn't have done in the past.
Well, it's certainly obvious to me that karma works. It always works. Nick Karadza, co-founder of Rockstar Real Estate, rockstarbrokerage.com. Nick, thank you for being a guest on the Profit Business Cast.
Thanks, Robert. I appreciate it.
And until next time, I'm Robert Gold, managing partner of Bennett Gold LLP, chartered accountant in Toronto. If you want to know how we eliminate the frustration gap, check us out at bennettgold.ca. You can find other great episodes of the Profit Business Cast at profitguide.com. See you next time in the morning, everyone, and good night. Drop More, Manitoba.
You've been listening to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's business podcast, and brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants. From acceleration to succession, strategy to tax planning, there's a lot more through the door at bennettgold.ca.